This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello and welcome to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. Thank you for joining us. We're your hosts. My name is Marcy Davis, and my co-host is my amazing service dog, Fenway. And we're excited to be with you today to talk about our favorite subject, working dogs and working animals. And today we are welcoming an amazing actor, writer, and disability advocate. And that, of course, is Aria Mia Liberti. And Aria joins us to talk about her brand new children's book, I Am Ingrid, which I am in love with Ingrid after reading this book. It is so wonderful. And we're going to talk with Aria today about the inspiration behind Ingrid and just talk about her creative journey and what brought this beautiful book to life. So come right back after these quick messages as we welcome Aria to the show.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. I'm so excited to welcome Aria to our show. Hello, Aria. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we are so thrilled that you could take time out of your busy life to be with us. And we're also so glad that you have created such a beautiful children's book about Ingrid. So tell us, off by telling us, Aria, what motivated you? What came into your mind to make you want to write this book?
Actually, it's like a really crazy story. I feel like a lot of my life is sort of this way where this was not the book that I intended to really write, especially first as like my first book, because it is my first. And I had a manuscript that was written and done and ready to go off into the world. And for those of you who are familiar with publishing and how that works, I was actually in the process of querying an agent, which is like the person who represents the work and gets it off to a publisher, for this middle grade fantasy that I had written. And during that process was when another crazy thing happened in my life where I randomly get cast in a Netflix miniseries. And I had to put that whole process on hold as I kind of had a whole career change from an academic to an actress. And then as things started to like calm down after that, this was only about a year and a half ago, I had filmed another show after that show, and things had started to calm down a little bit. And I was actually approached by the publisher Scholastic. And they wanted to do not a middle grade fantasy, in fact, but a children's picture book. And we talked about a few different things. I do a lot of climate activism. So we were like, maybe it's climate change. Maybe it's about following your dreams or becoming an actress. It's all these different things. And then we're like, oh, well, no, it's not. This is a book about Ingrid. And it sort of organically happened that way. And it was so cool because I'm like, it just shows that you have to be open to like whatever is going to happen in your life. You have to be open to however it takes shape. And so that was just so exciting that they were so interested in not only doing a children's picture book, but also learning about Ingrid and her wonderful job as a guide dog. And I really just... it was a challenge for me, too, to go from essentially like wanting to publish a novel and working on this novel to condensing this story into something that's really short, that has to engage people of all ages and be something families can enjoy together and a kid could look at with their adult. And So that process was, it was an incredible process. And how do you distill down this concept of a working dog and of a dog really following her dreams into a way that everybody can understand it and that can hopefully like spark exciting conversations with people of all ages? So it was a really cool process.
Well, you knocked it out of the park. Yes, you did it. Yes, because I have to say, when I read it, I was thinking that, Arya, I was like, wow, this is for everybody. Adults need this information, children. Yes, but the way that you wrote it was so easily absorbed and really to understand. It was just so beautifully written.
Thank you. It was so fun to do because for those of you who haven't seen the book, it's actually, the first part is the story told through Ingrid's own words. And so sometimes she's not very reliable because she's going to tell you that she never made a mistake.
I loved
that. And
then
the pictures tell you that she did. And I'm like, you have just enough humor. And then like, if kids have questions, there is like back matter at the end with all of the information that people might ask about, like, okay, why does the dog behave this way? Why can't they eat food off the ground? Why can't we pet a service dog in a harness or a vest? And why do people who need service animals all look really, really different from one another? Like all of that stuff. And so it was really cool to figure out like what Ingrid, in her own words, wasn't telling us in the story. And try to piece together how to tell that story too.
Yes, I loved that. That was priceless. That was so great. I'm so good. I don't do that. And then there's images of her being totally, yep. That's so great. Well, tell us about Ingrid. I know that our listeners are just so anxious to hear about this little canine. Describe her. And talk about her life and her identity.
Yeah, no, she's wonderful. We've been matched together for about 8 years, which is a lot.
Yeah.
So she's had a very long and illustrious career. And she is a black lab, and she is known in her friend group and in her community, which now is expanding with this book, for wearing a pearl necklace everywhere she goes, which she doesn't know is plastic, but we don't tell her. And so she is very fancy. And very fabulous, and she knows it, and she goes out into the world with this expectation that it is Ingrid's world and everyone else is just here. And when I matched with her, I grew up with low vision, actually, and so I had some sight in darker environments. My vision was a lot better, and then in much brighter lights, like out in the sunshine or out in like bright indoor lighting, I really didn't have much vision. And one of the really cool things about this whole experience is being able to showcase to people that that is a spectrum. And I was always an advocate for, like, you have to understand that people who are blind or have low vision, it looks very different on everybody. And now I'm telling the story in a totally different way because over the last year and a half, actually, since I really started working on this book, funnily enough, my vision has been corrected. And so that means that Ingrid's and my relationship is changing. And so to get to showcase this story with people and showcase, like, not only is Ingrid doing this wonderful job that can help adapt, or really helped me adapt when I would go from bright sunshine and couldn't see much to indoors where I could see more, but I still might miss a step or an obstacle, and showcase that relationship and how beautiful that is, but also how folks with any type of disability, really, you don't know how it's going to change throughout your life. And it can develop in different ways, and it could look different depending on the hour or the year or the decade or your age. And to be able to be someone who can demonstrate like that these things are very fluid. And you can do this with a wonderful partner by your side. And one of the things that was able to get me through, not only like going to college and learning about how to like get around in college, how to adapt from being an academic to all of a sudden being an actress and having to travel the world, and then now having to adapt to always having low vision to now being a sighted person. The one anchor through all of these really crazy stories that have happened to me is the fact that Ingrid is there. And because of her training and because of our relationship, we can sort of conquer any of these things together. So it's been a really wonderful way to like celebrate her, but also like just to get to see how much she's adapted over the years to how my life has changed and has gone from like a college campus and relatively quiet and like, frankly, like not having friends to like all of a sudden you're on the stage with 40,000 people in Brazil and they're all screaming at you and like how like the dog has to adapt to all this stuff. So it's like, yeah.
And that is, you are so right. I'm so glad that you said that because about disability changing, it absolutely does. I've lived with my disability for over 5 decades.
Yeah.
And it continues, Aria, to change. Yeah. And adapting to that. And sometimes it changes for the better and sometimes it doesn't. And yes, having a working dog to support you through those and to share that, it's so powerful. I have a hard time articulating it. I do, because it is so deep and powerful.
And meaningful. And I think the only people I know who like really, really get it are the people who've had working dogs or the people mm-hmm. who've raised them.
Exactly.
And it's really, really special. And I did have a dramatic vision loss during my time with Ingrid that then transitioned to that back to my like normal plateau. And then after that transitioned to being fully corrected. So like she's run the whole gamut with me of me really not having much sight at all to me being a sighted person. And the way she's been able to adapt and help me understand the world both times, really. So because, you know, if you haven't been in the situation, I think you could imagine, for those of you listening, that like if you have a way you've been exposed to the world and you've been taught how to experience the world and all of a sudden that baseline changes and it can happen really quickly or it can happen over time, it's very disorienting. I have a lot of people be like, oh, like this is so amazing that you can see now. And I'm like, it is. Everything is amazing. Not being able to see, being able to see, it's all amazing and it's all wonderful and it's all a new inquiry and a new experience. But like every time it's very disorienting.
Yes,
and I'm very lucky that technology has improved in such a way that this can happen. But like it's disorienting. And so you have to know you can't depend on yourself because your body is kind of betraying you for better or for worse. So you have to depend on your dog. And it's really special.
It is. It is. Yes, it's very special. And it's amazing how they are so sensitive to those changes. At least my dogs have been. And it sounds like Ingrid as well. They're so into. Right. I felt like my dog knew what was going on before I did.
Yeah.
In so many situations. But it is. It is. It's a being on the other end of that leash is just pure electricity and magic. It really is, in my opinion.
It's really cool. And it makes me so excited to get to share it with young kids because they don't know that these are careers you can have.
That's right. Like, that they can have an impact.
And I'm like, that's so cool. And I did this crazy book tour, and I'm still sort of doing it right now, where I basically got to go all over the country and I met like 5,000 people and I was in and out of elementary schools and whatever, and just watching these kids' faces as they realized, like Adam, Ingrid's trainer, who's a big part of the story in the book, like that's a job. You can grow up and be like Adam.
Yeah.
And also, like, if any kids are struggling with feeling like they don't belong, which was a big part of my experience, like even if you wouldn't be someone who would get a service dog, like the fact that so much of this story is about like feeling like you belong, whether it's Ingrid finding her path to be a guide dog or me getting Ingrid, and all of a sudden, like, I feel like it's so cool because you have this experience that you can take to kids who might be struggling with that exact thing of like, how do I fit, where do I tell my story? And it's so cool to be able to share that through the lens of a dog and the lens of a person at the same time.
Yes. It's lovely. And how did you approach your writing process? Because that's really tricky. How did you go about doing that and creating the story?
It was so fun. It was, like you said, it was very tricky because I had come out of this experience finishing a novel, which hopefully will be with all of you soon, or sooner rather than later. But I was used to having 60,000-70,000 words to play with and just words. And then all of a sudden you're faced with this task of like, okay, you have to tell the story in basically under 400 words and very few words on a page. And then the words have to work really well with the art. And it was really challenging for me to figure out what do I tell and what do I leave out? And so the story starts with Ingrid as a puppy, and it ends with the two of us coming home. So we really don't get a lot of like the tasks that she'll help me out in everyday life. We get more of her training and her learning to adapt to me during the training and all that stuff. And the experience of the puppy raising family who volunteers their time to take the dog out into the world, and then professional trainer who teaches the skills and like all these things. And so I had to feel, I felt like I left a lot out. I still do. But like you have to tell this cohesive short story in a way that everybody can understand. And one of the things I didn't know was that you actually have to do the art notes as the author yourself. So you're writing the manuscript and then you're dividing up the manuscript into the 42 pages or whatever it is. I think it's like 38 or 42 pages. And then you put what you want on every page, and then you put an art note for what that should look like. I didn't realize that that was something that the author did. I always thought that that just came from the illustrator. And I really wanted, like we've talked about, like this idea of Ingrid being the unreliable narrator, because I do think sometimes dogs are sort of the unreliable narrator of their own life. And like, so she's telling you that she would never eat the peanut butter.
Right.
She would never mess up. And the illustrations have to showcase that. But on top of that, I also wanted to make sure that the body positioning and the way that the dog is being handled and the equipment, the harness and the gentle leader and the leash and all these things that the dog would wear at different points in the story, make sure that they're represented very accurately, because this would be the first time that a lot of people are even seeing a working dog. And so how do you communicate that to a kid in 2D cartoons that aren't moving? And so it was this whole cool experience of like collaborating with the illustrator, Vivian, who did an amazing job, and the folks at Scholastic who formatted the book to figure out like how do we communicate this as accurately as possible, so that if someone sees this in their life, they understand that like, because a lot of the working dog stuff, it is very subtle. It's really cool.
Yeah, it
and
is.
To showcase that was a big part of the process.
Yes. And it is beautiful. The images, Vivian did a fantastic job.
She's so good. Yeah. It was so good. It's so sweet.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I love too how it captures so many different people. I love the diversity in it as well, Aria. That's beautiful too.
Oh, thank you. It was really fun to get to showcase that experience of going out and getting my dog and getting that training, but also to try to understand what her upbringing was like and what a really cool world she was exposed to, and like to try to capture that sense of, you know, this is what the real world looks like for for this dog.
Really cool. It has a really big important job. Yes. It's wonderful.
Thank you.
We are going to take just a quick break and hear some important messages from our sponsors who we love. And we're going to come back and keep visiting with Aria, because we have so many more questions.
Oh, gosh. Thank you.
I want to hear about what all you're up to. So come right back.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Working Like Dogs on Pet Life Radio. We are visiting today with the amazing Aria Liberti, who is as you probably know, an amazing actress, and she is also now an amazing children's book author, and I can't believe a middle grade fantasy author. So
hopefully soon.
Yeah, so many cool things. And yeah, and I was curious, Arya, is I Am Ygritte going to be in any other formats, like audio or, yeah, tell us about that.
It's been really, really incredible to get to work on this, and a very interesting experience since it happened, you know, as my vision was getting corrected, and it's been corrected because one of the big parts when I came into this was that I couldn't see the details of my own pictures in the beginning. So I was getting in the art and I was holding it really close to my face and sort of figuring out how to navigate. How do you give art notes on art that you can't see completely? You could see some of it, but not all of it. And slowly transitioning to be able to see the art fully over the last, I don't know, bit of year and a half or so. And so one of the things that was really important to me, and just really important since I grew up with low vision, was to be able to make sure that a picture book could be translated into a way that everybody can really appreciate and understand it and get the whole story, because sometimes the art is doing very different things than the writing. And I wanted to make sure everybody could access that, not just be read the story out loud, but could really get the full scope of the illustrations and the humor in the illustrations. And I know it's not our placement, but it was very important to me to try to make it as universally accessible as possible. And the one way that I could do this that I sort of had some control over was to be able to do an audiobook. And very often with children's picture book audiobooks, you have the line on the page read to you, and then there is a sound to flip the page that just gives the kid or the reader in question, no matter your age, the time to look at the picture by holding the physical book. And I knew that wasn't going to cut it if we were talking about having this reach people who are blind or low vision or who have any type of disability that affects how they can understand and see the art. So we have one track that is the typical track for the audiobook, where it's like, words on the page, flip the page, words on the page, flip the page, and so on and so on. And then we have another track on the same, on the same audiobook, that is the full audio description. So it takes you from the book cover itself and describes everything in detail, all of the artwork, the expressions on people's faces, the color of the font, people's clothes, the movement on the page. And then we'll read, you know, what's happening to you, and then we'll give people the cue to flip the page. So if you don't have access to the print book, or if you can't see the print book, or you know that it would be perhaps not in your wheelhouse to be able to see or understand the pictures, then you have that particular piece that you can access. And I'm so proud and so excited about that. I got to write it myself, the whole script myself. So it was really like this amazing gift and this amazing treat. And the sound mix for the audiobook is fantastic because it goes up that extra step and takes there's sound effects, there's cars in the big busy city and all of these places that Ygritte encounters in the book, the park by the water, and you get those sound effects. So if you're not looking at the pictures, you can't see the pictures, you have the same feeling you would have if you were looking at them. And Ygritte actually contributed some sound effects herself, which is cool. Very exciting. Yes. So I'm narrating and Ygritte is contributing some snoring and pig snorts and little toe taps. So everyone gets a little taste of Ygritte too. So I think the audiobook, it is like a universally accessible thing, but it also is just a treat if you like the story and you want to experience it anyway. So I've been very excited about that. And hopefully more formats and languages even soon. So that would be cool.
Yeah, that is. Oh, I love that. And that's the whole thing about the book. It just feels like it's so full of love and imagination and resilience. I mean, there's just so many different takeaways for adults and children. Yeah, it is. There's just so many beautiful things. And you have thought of every little detail
Thank you. It was so fun to work on. Thank you. That means a lot.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. Well, we want to know what else you're up to. But before you tell us that, I have to ask you. So you say that you were a college student on a college campus, and then your life changed dramatically. Tell us, what were you studying? And how did that happen that you became an actress?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So basically, it's kind of a long story. I got to college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I was just really excited by the options in college because I was one of those kids that college was never really a guarantee for me, like financially and everything. So I was like just so excited to be there and to have these scholarships that let me go there. And it was just like this sort of playground wonderland situation. And I didn't know what I wanted to study really. And I thought I came in with a very particular plan, and it didn't end up being what I was going to study. And somehow it turned around into, I was studying ancient rhetoric and sort of like the history of how we became who we are through words and through storytelling, and specifically ancient Greece and Egypt and a little bit of ancient Rome. And so when I was applying to grad school, I was looking at programs that would do that. And I was very lucky that I got a Fulbright scholarship to study this, which is a competitive scholarship given by the U.S. government for folks to go study in another country. And I got my Fulbright to go to England. And I left my university and went to England, and it was COVID. That was very difficult. So little Ingrid and I were cooped up in our flat, and we couldn't really go out and experience the world. And so all I had to focus on were my studies, and I realized that I was not happy at all. I loved what I was studying, but I didn't like the idea any longer of like having a career in academia for various reasons. And I was a little bit stuck because I had deferred a PhD. So I was able to go right back when I finished my master's that my Fulbright supported in England. I moved right back to the U.S. and was starting my PhD. And I was like, I don't know if anyone listening, or maybe you, Marcy, have ever had this feeling of like, I am in the wrong place. Like, it was just visceral. Like, this is not like, this is wrong. And it was just this terrible feeling of like, what do I do? And like, I like this so much, and I'm so excited, and I got this scholarship, and why do I feel this way? It was kind of terrible, like, in that sense. And somebody sent me a link to a cattle call, like global audition casting search for the lead role in adaptation on Netflix of a book that I really liked called All the Light We Cannot See. And I said, that's so cool, but no thank you. And then I was like, well, you just moved to a new place, you don't have friends yet, you don't have a hobby, just do this. Like, maybe it'll help you feel a little bit happier. And I just sent in the video. It was really bad. I'm not saying that to be self-deprecating. It was very bad. And they called me back, I guess, to give me a second chance or something. And maybe they just liked that I was willing to kind of make an idiot out of myself. And 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, I think I got the part. And I had never acted in my life, so I was a little bit like a fish out of water. I didn't really know what was going on. And then I had to move back to Europe. I had to move to Hungary to film. And I worked for 6 months, 7 or 6 day weeks to bring this story to life based on this book that I love. And left that show, went straight on to another show, and have been very, very lucky. And this is only 2 years ago since All the Light has come out. 2 years last week, actually. And so to be able to say, like, in that short, very short amount of time, that I was able to have that career change and also follow my actual childhood dream to write and be able to sort of have this beautiful career with acting and still be able to say that I can write and be able to share this story, even though it wasn't the story I expected to share first, that it has so much meaning and that it gives me a sense of like fulfillment to go into schools or bookstores or libraries and see that this story can reach people. And that acting in the stories you tell on screen can reach people. And as an actress, one of the things that I really actually struggle with is that you make this piece in isolation. You're, you know, usually cooped up with your crew and your cast, and you make it in isolation. And because all of my work actually was coming out around the like actor strike and all that stuff, it was difficult for me to get an idea of like,
does this have any impact at all? Is it reaching people? Is it touching people? Are they enjoying it? Is this a way that I can change the world for the better, really? And like grappling with that. And then all of a sudden you have this book and you can give it to a kid. You can give the physical book to a kid and watch their face light up as you read it to them. And it's so cool to see how the acting and the writing fit together. And
give me
that sense of like, you can do this. So anyone who's listening to this, who is on the cusp of making a piece of art or writing or taking the leap to try something new, I would just really encourage that you do it. Because if I didn't do it, I wouldn't have my dog. And if I didn't have my dog, I wouldn't have had the confidence to do any of this. And I just like, just go for it. If you're not sure about it, just, you don't know what's going to happen.
It's so beautiful. I could not. I'm just sitting here. Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, especially for young people of any age.
Anybody, though. Like, I look at, like, my parents and people their age, and I'm like, yeah, you can still do stuff. Like, you have all these dreams that you didn't get to do. Because
It's not over till it's over. Yes.
Yeah, just go do it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, and especially for people with disabilities. Yes.
Because you don't have enough examples.
And there are so many more levels of challenges in any of these kinds of pursuits.
Yes.
Yeah.
I joke a lot about, and I feel like this is hopefully the right audience to say this. I feel like you'll get it. But like, I joke a lot about like, oh, I'm so glad that these big accomplishments, the Fulbright and the PhD and the acting and, you know, working on that first book, all of these things that I accomplished in my life, I'm so glad that I did them blind and that they didn't happen now that my vision's been corrected, so that I can showcase to people, like, no matter who you are, where you're born, how you're born, how much money you have, what resources you have, what obstacles are in front of you, like, you can do it. So I'm like, I feel like I'm just so glad that it's kind of a silly sentiment to be like, I'm so glad those things happened then, so that I can prove to people like, you can do it. And so to the people who would also look at someone who might have an obstacle in their way and be like, there's no way you're getting around it, like, well, screw them. And hopefully this helps prove otherwise. So like, I don't know if that makes sense, but
absolutely,
you know.
Absolutely. And it does seem so simple, but boy, it's not. It's so complex.
I think we all have like our obstacles, regardless if we have a disability or not. Like, we all have those obstacles, but like, there are so many more barriers in place because the world isn't designed for you to succeed, like, period. And that's one of the reasons why Working Dog is really important, and why the stories are important, and why, like, we need to make sure that our community is safe and welcoming to people who need those tools, but like, also we can all do a bit better. And one of the things that I have learned over this like correction process, and like, I still have my eye condition, I still can't see color, but like, the technology of the contact lenses that I wear has allowed me to go through my life now without access barriers. And it has shown me, as someone who always advocated for these things, that I kind of sat down and just rolled over and kind of like, I didn't even know the extent of how our world is not set up for you to succeed. And it is very frustrating for me to realize I had done so much advocacy. And at the same time, now I'm experiencing the world much closer to how the average non-disabled person would experience it. And the level of ease that comes with that is absolutely harrowing and something I didn't recognize. And so I think it's up to everybody to step up and understand, like, we can do so much better as a collective. And I look at individuals who are making that change, and we need to step up and meet them as a collective where we're at. And it's just, it's been this really crazy thing of like, I just, it's very frustrating to see that sometimes our world isn't really set up for people to succeed and to follow their dreams. And even the idea of an actress who would have low vision.
Yeah. I was going to say,
was such a foreign concept to people. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially, it's so limited. I'm just so, I was so thrilled to see your performance and to know that you represented that community and that it was authentic, you know, because so long it hasn't been. The actors, they did their best, but if they, but like you said earlier, if they hadn't experienced it.
They still made great stuff. I'm not
knocking anybody. It was all still really good, but it just
wasn't
authentic.
And they deserve those Oscars and Emmys. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's true.
It just wasn't authentic.
It wasn't. And just having that opportunity and what you're creating for the next generation is just so inspiring and so exciting.
Thank
to know
you.
That you've opened doors for them that they had no idea probably that are were closed. Yeah.
It's so cool to get to like think about that. And I hope
yes.
that no matter like where things go and how I change and all of that stuff, I hope that that's something I can still speak to, because I really do believe that we don't have any excuses anymore.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just curious, what other creative projects do you have on the horizon?
Oh, my gosh. So I have written actually a second Ingrid book that gets to all that stuff that I mentioned at the beginning of like we see her train and we see her adapt to getting her new person after her trainer, but we don't get to experience a day in Ingrid's life as a qualified working guide dog in the story. So I have written a manuscript that features that would also be a children's picture book. So I'm hoping that this book will do well and people like it enough.
Yes.
That could be a possibility. So that's really cool. And obviously I would love to share the middle grade with everybody. And I'm working on a YA book right now that the middle grade is finished. So I'm like, that's also very exciting. And I have a few like acting projects in the works. The industry is so slow right now that it's hard for things to like really take shape in the way I think the whole industry would want them to, like regardless of how new you are to it or not. It's like everyone's kind of like, where's the momentum? Because we just came out of the pandemic and then the actor strike lasted for like 9 months or something. So everyone is like still coming out of all that. So hopefully those projects, one of which I'm like particularly excited about, would take shape soon. And I also started in my own production company. So I'm like, we'll see, like a really cool things are happening. And yeah, it would be nice too if I ever have time again to maybe finish my dissertation. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you have so many wonderful things to do. A dissertation honestly sounds boring, Aria, to what you've got going on.
Well, one day I'm going to want like a few months of peace and then I'll have that. So that'll be good.
Oh, well, I have one last question for you because I know you're so busy and our time is coming to an end, but I have to ask you, well, two things. First, if Ingrid could whisper one message to the world, Aria, what do you think it would be?
Oh, boy. Well, I'll give you the version that I think I would want her to say, but I really just think that she would want everybody to know that she's fabulous. Like, I genuinely do. I think she would be like, well, everyone has to just know that I'm so amazing and I'm perfect in every possible way. I do think that that would be what you would tell people. But I think that if I could put words in Ingrid's mouth, I would probably say that she is the best representative that I know of someone who just went for their dream and worked really hard to get it. And she knew from when she was a puppy that this was what she wanted to do. And not every dog who does this does have that sense. And I know from her training program and her puppy raisers and her trainer that she very much had that sense very early on.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I need to do and this is what I need to go out in the world and do. And a dog can do that and so can we. And so I think if I could say something on behalf of Ingrid, that's not Ingrid is absolutely amazing and fabulous and the most beautiful dog you would ever see in your entire life, it would be just, you know, in your heart what dream you're supposed to follow and go follow it.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Thank you.
I think that she would not
mind.
Oh,
yes. Yes. I think she would get behind that, Aria. Yes. 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 Well, and before you go, though, tell us, how can people find the book? How can both the audio and the print? And how can we follow you to keep up with your future projects?
So the book is actually available like wherever you would buy a book, which is very exciting. So your local bookseller, I would very much encourage. But it's also Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Target, like those places as well. But please go to your local bookseller first and support them, especially around the holidays, and available at local library. So if your library has it, please go support them. If they don't, request it, and it could be a part of the library for everyone. The audiobook is also available in libraries, but it is available on Amazon, Audible, that type of thing.
as well as Spotify and Libro FM, which is an independent bookseller's way of selling digital audiobooks, which is really cool. So those are all different really cool options to find the book. And if you are interested in following me and what's up, and I do have like links to the book and stuff on my page, mostly that would be on Instagram. So it's just my name, Aria Mia Liberti. And if you are interested in only following Ingrid, I will not be offended. But Ingrid has her own page where it's just Ingrid's Adventures, and that is Guide Dog Ingrid, both on Instagram.
Love it. Love it. Guide Dog. Love it. Well, I just can't thank you enough, Aria, for what you're doing for, for animals and for people with disabilities. And, and we can't wait to see what else you do. Yeah, because
you
are on your way, and we are so proud of you and so thrilled to get to spend this time with you today. And we hope you'll come back.
Thank you so much. I would love to be back. Hopefully a second Ingrid adventure will be on the way, and then I can come share it with you too.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And thank you, our listeners, for being with us. We so love for you to be here, and we'd love for you to keep your questions coming. So please reach out to us. You know, you can reach us at Marcie, M-A-R-C-I-E, at PetLifeRadio.com. Hey, everybody, I also want to share some exciting news. I've been working on a brand new children's book called Humphrey, the Hopeful Helper. It's a heartwarming story of a little yellow lab puppy with big paws and an even bigger dream to become a service dog. And this beautifully illustrated book is coming soon, and I can't wait to share Humphrey's adventures with you and your family. So be sure to join our mailing list at workinglikedogs.com so you'll be the first to know when Humphrey the Hopeful Helper is released. I promise you don't want to miss this one. So thanks so much for being with us, and take good care.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.